Amen. Let's take our Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. I'm glad that he'll walk with us. Amen. I'm glad that the Spirit of God that lives within inside of us will challenge us, comfort us, and lead us and guide us. What a blessing that is to know. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. I want to publicly say I appreciate the last 2 days the Lord's gave us. It was just wonderful days. PCS had a great graduation. Brother Bob Darty did a wonderful job preaching. And the choir, the youth choir, the school choir did a wonderful job singing. It was just such a blessing to be in the service. Had a good crowd there. And then last night we had the North Georgia Baptist College. And we graduated our first group of kids that our first group of that came all 4 years at our college. And so what a blessing that was. And it was just a tremendous blessing. The house, church house was almost full. And we just appreciate each one that was able to be a part of that. We appreciate our graduate. Emily graduated and Brother Hawkins graduated. Amen. And Brother Hawkins had a lot of his family. Emily did too. A lot of their family here. And so it was just a blessing. Amen. And so we just thank the Lord for that. We thank him for us being able to be involved in people's lives. The ministry is about being involved in people. The ministry is about people. It's about people getting saved, people getting discipled, people doing the work for God. And that's a little bit, I don't know if I'm going to preach this morning. I'm just going to tell you, share some things that you already know. You already know all these things I'm going to mention to you. I hope the Lord will put a little preach in it, but this is what I feel like that the Lord would have us to do this morning. And so we'll try to be obedient to his spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Are you glad you're saved this morning? Amen. Summertime is here. Amen. Now officially as the schools are getting out, summertime's here. I know many of you be going on vacation. Remember now, if you go on vacation, you have to get somebody, pay them, beg them, do something to set in your seat when you're gone. Okay? I'm just kidding. But let's pray that everybody have safe trips as they travel this summer. Everybody have a safe trip and be able to come back and be with us in the house of the Lord. We know those days come, and it's good for you to get off with your family. But try your best not to neglect the house of God. We'll be preaching about that in just a little bit today. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 9. For we are laborers together. We need to get that. We are laborers together with God. We're laborers together with God. You are God's husband, you are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now you and I this morning, I've got just a couple more verses I'll read, but you and I this morning, we realize that we're not saved by our works.
Yeah.
We realize we're not saved by doing, we're saved because of what Jesus done for us.
Amen.
It's been did at Calvary for you and I. We're not saved because of how righteous we are. We're saved because Christ is righteous. We're saved because his righteousness was imputed to you and I. His righteousness was given to us. And so it was put on our account, if you will. And so what a blessing is to know that I'm declared righteous in the eyes of God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, not because of the works that I have done, but because of Calvary and what Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God and what God has done for you and I. And so as we look in the text this morning, we realize that there is a reckoning day. There is a day of appointment. The Bible says the appointed man wants to die, and after this what? The judgment. Now, just because you and I are saved does not relinquish us from having to go to the judgment.
Yeah.
Now, we know and the Word of God teaches us about the Bema Seat of Christ, about a time when we as Christians will stand before God. Romans teaches us that all men, all of us, will all stand before God Almighty. Matter of fact, let me just read that very quickly. It says, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Shall give account of himself to God. So that means everyone sitting in this building this morning will give account of himself, give account of their self, give account of herself to God. You're going to give account to God. Well, we're doing good so far. And so, verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built upon, he shall receive a reward. Hey, I like receiving rewards, don't you? I like getting something. Amen. I like people giving me things, and I really want to receive a reward when I stand before God. Amen. And then look at verse number 15. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? We are laborers together with God. Amen? Yeah. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, God, I pray you'll help us in the next few minutes to preach the Word of God. God, I pray that you'll unctionize us, anoint us, and fill us. God, I pray you'll guard my lip and help me to say nothing that needs not to be said, and say all that needs to be said. God, I pray, Father, you'll touch hearts this morning. God, of the things that we've reminded of, I pray, God, that you would just help us. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. I just want to remind you some things. The Bible says many times in the Word of God, be it remembrance and remembrance. Do this in remembrance. Talking about the Lord's Supper, we're going to do that in remembrance of Him. He wants us to remember some things. Amen. And we just need to remember that you and I are going to give an account to God one day. There's an accountability system going on. There's a record that's being kept. God's pinning some things down, as is written, the Bible said there wrong. There's some things that are being wrote down. There's some things that are being taken notice of in our life. Just because we're saved does not mean that God gives us a free reign to do anything that we want to do. The book of Romans talk about, you know, God forbid if we would sin, just because we have grace. Now, God forgives us our sins when we sin, but we don't do that just because we have the grace of God to forgive us, just because He forgives. You know what? We don't say, well, I'm just going to do this sin, I'll ask God to forgive me later. Oh, no. Matter of fact, I believe those are the sins that we pay for.
Sure. Yeah.
And so, we realize, this morning we realize that we're going to give account to God. But here's the tears. We are workers together. God has called out assembly. God has what we call a local assembly called the church.
Yeah.
Every born again believer is part of the what we would call the universal church. Okay. Now when we talk about, some people call it an invisible church. I don't really like that terminology. Why? Because it's hard for invisible people to give tithes. It's hard for invisible people to worship God.
Yeah.
Amen. But we realize when we talk about the church in a whole as a body of Christ, as a collective believer, we talk it as a body. But most of the time in the Word of God, when it talks about the church, it's talking about a local called out assembly that is gathering in a geographic area that is gathered somewhere. Remember in the book of Revelation, there are mentioned seven churches in the book of Revelation.
Yeah.
Those was not fairy tale churches. Those was churches that had people in them that was members. Amen.
Amen.
And Philadelphia Baptist Church, just like there was a church there called Philadelphia, and we realized that it no longer exists. And if this church don't continue to do what God's called it to do, God can put Ichabod. God can wipe out the membership. God can put this church on the back burner, and finally this church will not exist anymore. There's been churches that was started and churches that burned for the Lord and was lit. But yet, time, just like the church at Ephesus, it's not there no more. They're gone.
Yeah.
Amen. So this church will not always continue to be without it has people in it that will continue to be that which God would happen to be. Hey, the Bible tells us He wants to give us abundant life. John 10:10 said that I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Hey, God wants us to strive as Christians. God has desires for you and I. We preached this or taught this morning in Sunday school class. God asks us to give us some heart. To give us him, give us our heart, to give our heart to him. God asked for our heart. I'm talking about the God that has everything, wants your heart. He wants your life. He wants you to serve him. He wants you to live for him. And I want to talk about that just a little bit this morning. I'm talking about the one that founded the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. In the mind of God, before time ever was, God, Jesus Christ was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. There's going to be Calvary. And God was going to purchase a church. And it was in the plan and mind of God. So we are workers and laborers together with God in his mighty plan, in his purpose, in his whole outlook of life, outlook of this world. We're in the economy of God, and we need to be doing what God would have us to do. He founded the church. He's the foundation of the church. Hey, he loved the church. He gave his life. He gave his life blood for what? For the church.
Yeah.
I'm just take a second again. I'll just go for a little second here and just mention this. Ephesians chapter 5. We've been in it and talked about it many times. Ephesians chapter number 5. And somebody took it out of my Bible, but that's okay. All right. Ephesians chapter 5, it says this, husbands, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Amen. He gave himself for the church. He loves the church this morning. He loves each and every one that makes up the church. When I said he loves the church, I'm talking about every born-again believer. But he also loves a flock of people that gathers together to worship. Thank God for our local church. So where are we going to labor? Well, we must labor together with God in our lives, and we do it through the local church that God has assembled together. And so if you're a member of Philadelphia Baptist Church, this is a church that God would have you to labor at. Can I get an amen there? That's what God would have us do. We've come here together to labor. He founded the church. He loved the church. He commissioned the church to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He gave himself for the church. He loves the church. He wants the church to strive. He wants us to have abundant life. He wants us to prosper. He wants us to have rewards when we get to heaven. And so these are the things that we preach. These are the things that we teach, that the Word of God teaches us that we are to be. And there's some things that he teaches us to do. So I want to ask you this question. This is my message today. Does the church ask too much of its membership? Does the church? Now, I'm saying, I don't know if I'm a preacher or not, a pastor this morning. I don't know what I'm doing. It's probably the wrong question to ask. Does the church ask too much? When the church acts as its membership, and we ask our membership to do some things. So does the church, and you say, well, I'm not a member here, but you're part of the body of Christ. Does the church ask you to do too much when it asks you to be faithful in attendance to the house of God? Does the church ask you, is it too much to ask you in this busy economy, in this society? Amen. Honey, you might want to start packing. In this busy economy that we're living in, to be faithful to the house of God. Is the church asking too much of its membership? Now, you work on a job, and some of you would say on your job, you know, some of y'all worked on a job and you had your pattern down. You know, I remember I was working at a UPS, and I've been working there for 2 years. When I started out, I started splitting on the belt, working in the morning, splitting the belt, loading one car. You know, well, splitting the belt first, and then to start loading one car, and then I start loading a car. Before it's over with, I'm at the end of the car loading four cars, and getting everybody things that ever I used to let pass by me. I'm having to throw it back up to them now. Amen. So you know how they fill up our missing stuff. And so I'm at the end of the car. Well, I went on vacation and come back, and you know what they said? You're not going to go back there on that car. So we're going to put you at the end of another belt. And you're going to load four cars at the end of that belt. I knew nothing about that belt. I knew nothing about the addresses. I knew nothing about the number. And I'll be honest with you. I thought that was what? That's too much to ask to me. I said, man, I'm crazy. I can't load four cars I know nothing about. I can't load that, load these UPS cars. I can't load them. I mean, when them drivers come in, they check their load. They throw back. You can put breakable on it. It don't matter. When it's in there and it ain't supposed to be in their car, it's coming back out. Amen. And they don't like it when they go in there and start looking through it. And then they really don't like it when they get on their route and they find a package that's not in their car and they have to meet somebody else and kill their time and try to find, make up with somebody to get that package to where it's supposed to be going. And so, and you're in trouble the next morning. Amen. Not only does the driver not like it, then the manager don't like it. And I'll tell you, they run a tight ship. Somebody say amen. And so, yeah. And so I thought it was just too much for me. I'm nasty. And so on your job, sometimes somebody's come in, you know, you got everything figured out, and you get a new boss. And he comes in and decides we're going to do everything different than what we used to do. Yep. And you sit there and first of all, I said, this is never going to work, you know. Hey, man, I've worked people. I know what you're talking about. You're not, maybe it does work. But have you? And you said, this is just too much to be asked. They want me, I do all this now, and now they got more than they want me to. It's just too much. So I'm asking you a question. I'm just asking you a question. Is Philadelphia Baptist Church, is God of this Bible, is the Lord Jesus Christ the love that loved us so much, and there's a Spirit of God that dwells in the temple, we are the temple of the Holy Ghost, that dwells in, is it asking you too much to be faithful to attend the house of God?
No.
To come to Sunday school.
Yeah.
And to open up the Word of God and let somebody teach you that's tried their best to study and pray. And our teachers are not perfect. The pastor's not perfect. And guess what? Membership's not perfect.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I just wanted to throw that out there. But is it too much to ask you to come to morning worship service? Is it too much to ask you to get up at 8:30, 9 o'clock, whatever time you need to get up to get here in time, 7 o'clock, get everything ready? Is that you too much to put the, you know, take those kids, get them washed up, get them cleaned up, put some clothes on them, get them into Sunday school that they may learn life-changing truths? That they may learn something that would, I mean, that God could use to prick their heart. Brother Jeff, that God could use to prick their heart. Brother Bo, and think of one day God could use it to save their soul.
Yeah. Yeah.
Give them eternal life.
Yeah.
Get them a home in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Is it asking too much? And does the church ask too much to say, hey, we'd like for you to come on Sunday morning to Sunday school. I know it's at 10 o'clock. I know it's weekend. But you might manage to be able to make it. And then to stay after Sunday school, you know, Daddy pastors a lot of churches that people didn't stay after Sunday school. We ain't got a real big problem about that. And don't start doing it now. But some of you thought, I didn't even know we could do that. Oh, wow. I seen light bulbs go off. You might want to talk to us. But that we did Daddy pastor church in and that one church, you pastor, and they probably, you know, some people that would leave after Sunday school. I mean, that's all they needed. If they didn't come to Sunday school, they'd come to church. They just needed one service or the other. It was like two services. I mean, is it asking too much? Is it asking too much for on a Sunday afternoon to once again get everybody ready and try to come back? I tell you, we have some wonderful Sunday night services. And to be in the house of God. If I'm figuring correctly, this morning we started at 10. We will probably get out by 12:15. And we'll be closing down by 12:15, 12:20. Somewhere right in there. A lot of times we're out by 12:15, 12:20. We're usually always out by 12:30.
Yeah.
So if I figured that right, and you know, and that's 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
Then usually at night, 6 to 7:30 is a long service for us. On Sunday night, usually we're out by 7 or even 15 after 7. By all time, we're out by 15 after 7. So that's the same. Boy, we get a really good Sunday night service and it goes to a whole hour and a half. So we're asking on this Sunday day, we're asking for 2.5 hours in the morning, 1.5 hours in the afternoon. I wonder if still, I'll tell you, hey, we got bylaws around here. We might need to change something. Our church could just be asking too much on this generation. in the average Baptist church, and I'm going to thank God. You think I'm getting on to you? I'm not getting on to you. I'm going to praise you here for a minute. I thank God. I'm going to praise you here for a second. In the normal, in the average Baptist church, 75% never attends a Sunday evening service.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, we got a lot more than that that attends.
Yeah.
I had a friend that was just in a church, and he said there was 200 there that morning and 60 there that night. He lost that church. I guess he was preaching on Sunday night. But lost 140 people. And we don't do that. Again, don't y'all start thinking about it now. But we have a real good attendance record of people coming back.
Yeah.
Probably, I dare say, I'm really bragging. I dare say if we're not one of the best churches in the county, we're right close to the best one. Has a church come back. Some of our larger churches don't even have half of their attendance back on Sunday night.
No.
Usually less than half.
Yeah.
Amen. And we do. We probably have a 75-80% ratio coming back. So we're better than the average, amen.
Amen.
I'm bragging on you, supposed to say amen there. Amen. It don't get no better. That's good. Okay. 60% of, and here's another average. Now, this is what people that study Baptist churches. This is a study with Baptist church. 66% does usually in the church, does little or nothing in the church. Are we average? 85% never attends a midweek service. We're better than that.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
We're probably over 60. Amen.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you, I'm bragging on you. Y'all going to have to figure out your system. You said 95% of the Baptist churches that was polled, 95% of the people that are membership of the Baptist churches never attempt to win anyone to Christ. We'll move on. But that's actually the last point I'll get to. Are we asking too much? For you to come and spend 2 hours and a half in the morning and an hour and a half in the afternoon. In a busy society that we live in, are we asking too much?
No.
We are laborers together. I want to let you know, church, I can't do it.
Yeah.
I can't make you spiritual. I can't make you holy.
Yeah.
But I can lead you to the one that can.
Amen.
That's right.
And you say, well, Sunday morning, Sunday night, you know, just being in church, it don't make me holy. I tell you what, it will help you in your spiritual walk with God anytime you hear the Word of God. Anytime you gather with God's people and you get in the surroundings that God wants to minister in, you say, well, preacher, God speaks to me at home. I know He does. God speaks to me in different places. I know He does. But there's just something about God said, forsake not to assemble yourself together. That's in the Word of God. There's something about why would God have us to have all these local assemblies, all these different places, and why would God say in His Word that He would be in our midst and when we were gathered together. I'm telling you, there's something about the unity of working together and laboring together and the worship together in the house of God.
Amen.
Does the church, here's my second point. Does the church ask too much when the church asks its members to read the Word of God daily? Are we asking too much? I mean, is it asking you too much when the preacher gets there and says, hey, you need to read your Bible through in here. You need to read the Word of God. If you'd want to read your Bible through in a year, it'd take 4 chapters a day. 4 chapters a day. Are we asking too much? Are we asking too much to say, hey, at least pick up a devotional book and read that little small devotional book. You can read that small devotional book in about 8 minutes. You can read that little small devotional book at one page, one day. Less than 8 minutes, you're a better reader than I am. 5 minutes easy, you can read that whole thing easily. You can read it. I mean, if I could put it this way, not only, you know the reason the church is asked to do these things? Because I believe God asks us to do this. I believe Jesus, this Word of God, teaches us that He wants us to commune with Him, and He wants to talk to us. And guess what? You're not going to see no visions. You're not going to hear no voices. This is how He's going to speak to you. You say, preacher, I'm weak in my faith. Read more of the Bible.
Yeah.
Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
Yeah.
Hey, it's not rocket science.
Yeah.
You weak in your faith? Read a little bit more Bible.
Hey.
Is the church asking to? I hope you don't think I'm trying to be smart at it. I'm not. If I could have got out of preaching this. I mean, I got a message we'd be shouting and hanging from the chandelier about right now. If not, I'd be. I'm just happy about it myself. Anything better than this, I mean. But it's truth, is it not?
Yeah.
Yeah, are we asked? I mean, we're not watering it down today. We're not, you know, making it palatable, making it taste good. It's just the truth. Is it asking too much? Is this church asking too much of its membership to ask you to read the God, read the Word of God? Hey, the Word of God is food for your soul.
Yeah.
Jeremiah said, "Thy word was found, and I did eat them, and thy words was unto me joy and rejoicing in my heart." The psalmist said it was like a honeycomb, sweet as honeycomb.
Yeah.
Amen. I mean, do you? Now, I'm like you. Okay, I read my Bible. And you read it half asleep. That happens sometimes. You say, "Don't never happen to me." You lie about other things too. But there's some days that things in that pages, this in that Bible, that book jumps right off them. There's some days it pierces my heart.
Yeah.
And I go, "Ooh."
Yeah.
Should have read that on a sleepy day. Amen. There's something. And then there's some things I read and I sit there, Brother Stringer, and I can't figure this all out.
Yeah.
But I believe it.
Yeah.
I don't understand it all, but I believe it. And as days go on, sometimes in God enlightens. And sometimes even in that day, He'll enlighten us. I meditate upon that verse and I think about it. And it becomes more clear as the day goes on. I just wonder, are we? It's food for our soul. It's light for our path. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, the psalmist said. He said, preacher, I need guidance. I need help. Guess where you're going to hear more about it? That's why we have preaching Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night.
Amen.
We preach the Word of God.
Amen.
That's why we have Sunday. Learn the Word of God.
Yeah.
It's comfort to cheer us. I don't know about you, but I like this psalm, Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Y'all probably only have one. My shepherd. Amen. My shepherd.
Yeah.
I like that. That's a blessing to know that He's my shepherd. That should stir us. That should cheer us.
Amen.
To know that we're His. Amen. He's ours. He maketh me to lie down. Sometimes He just slows me down and makes me do the things that I need. He just helps me, leads me. He leads me beside the still water. He restoreth my soul. Aren't you thankful? I mean, it just cheers. The Word of God. Okay. Point number three. You know I don't normally do this. I don't ever make points in my thing because I don't never know where I'm at in it. Here's point number three. Does the church ask too much when the church asks its members to talk to God on a daily basis? The Bible speaks about praying without ceasing. Now, we may differ on the interpretation of that. My interpretation has changed on that. Used to, I used to say, you know, hey, we're supposed to always be an attitude of prayer. And we are, should be an attitude of prayer. But I believe this praying without ceasing is actually talking about let's continue to pray. Don't give up on the prayer that you're praying. Continue to pray. If you're praying for a lost loved one, don't give up. Don't cease to pray. Just get one of your prayer, just keep on praying. Either way is fine. You want to interpret, don't bother me none. We're going to go to heaven anyway. Amen. There are some things that is not worth fighting over. Brother Dean mentioned just about where the church begins. I tell you what, you go into a Christian, you go into a college and mention where the church begins, you know, or you go even to church, or you go into a bunch of some pastors. I tell you what, they'll have 45-minute sessions, and I've heard preachers almost getting a fight at the supper table, eating at these fellowship. I believe the church started here, and I believe the church started. Get started.
Hey,
it's going to end one day. Yeah. Y'all going to be in heaven together. Yeah. And you're going to give account for this, these words of violence here. And it don't matter. I mean, there's some things that don't matter. Wherever you believe it, that's fine. Be a part. Be saved. If you're saved, get in the church. Amen. Where I believe it, you probably don't believe it. So that's fine. But I wonder, are we asking too much just to ask you to spend a little bit of time in prayer? I ask you to pray. On our prayer list, we have and pray for your pastor and his family. I tell you what, me and Deborah needs a lot of prayer. But we're not the only family in this church that needs a lot of prayer. Now, I wonder how many of you have thought about praying for somebody in the church. Last week you thought about, this morning God put somebody on my heart. Not in our church. And I text this preacher. I said, you're on my heart this morning. I just want to let you know I prayed for you. He texts me back. I said, I sure appreciate it. He said, pray for my wife's mother. She's passed away at 2 o'clock this morning.
Yeah.
He said, thank you for praying. I wonder, has God laid somebody on your heart to pray for? I mean, some of you know. You know something that's going through something. I don't think Brother Jerry would be upset with me if I'd mentioned Brother Jerry and the situations he's going through. I'm telling you what, he'd love for you to be praying for him.
Yeah.
And he's not the only one in the building that's going through things. And then there's, I mean, have you woke up during the night or got up in the morning and or just something was going on, and you thought, man, and somebody in the church is, you know, they just went through your mind. You thought, man, I need to pray for them. And you don't know what they're going through. You don't know what they're facing.
Yeah.
Is the church asking too much? Is God Almighty asking too much for Him to ask us to come and talk to Him on a daily basis? Thanks. One man said this: the devil trembles when he sees the weakest saint on his knees.
Hey.
We have the power of heaven at our disposal.
Yeah.
We have access to an almighty God. Jesus prayed with his disciples. Jesus prayed alone.
Yeah.
The disciples asked him, teach us to pray.
Yeah.
There must be something about this thing praying.
Yeah.
Jesus even prayed on the cross. Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. What should we pray for? Well, you know how you get saved? By praying and asking God to save you. Know how you get guidance? For praying and asking God to guide you. We should pray for those that's in need. Bear one another's burdens. We should pray for those that are lost. We should pray for those that are laborers, missionaries, pastors. Those that are laboring in the field.
Yeah.
Evangelists. Boy, we got a lot to pray. We pray for those in authority over us.
Yeah.
Then quickly, does the church ask too much? When the church has asked us to support God's work. I knew it. He's going to get that money. He ain't going to get that money every time. I'm telling you what. I give to this local church. I wouldn't give you a dime for a pastor that didn't tithe.
Yeah.
I'm serious. I have a lot of friends. I have a lot of people. A lot of preachers I know. And you know some of them, they feel like since they live over the ministry, and you know they're part of the ministry, and they're such, that for some reason they've been exempt to tithe. You know what I think about that? Baloney. I think God wants all God's people to tithe.
Yeah.
Amen. Deborah and I feel like why God's blessed us for 28 years and blessed us with the little stuff that we have because we tithe.
Yeah.
Amen, preacher.
Yeah.
Right. Hey.
People come to me and ask me, preacher, you don't understand, I'm in a situation right now where I can't tithe. You're going to stay in that situation.
Yeah. Hey.
Bible says, honor the Lord with thy substance.
Yeah.
With the first fruits of thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. Thy press shall be brushed out with new wine. So there's no way you can ask God for the blessings if you're not doing what God's asked you to do.
Yeah.
So we hinder the blessings of God upon us. How can we hinder the best God in any way? But we can hinder it by not giving. Hey, we can hinder it by having a little faith. No faith. Yeah. If you don't have faith, God can't bless not.
Yeah.
Without faith is impossible what?
Please God.
Please God. You know, it's kind of like this. If I'm describing somebody you know, I am not trying to do that. But it's like this. It's just like a mom and a dad raise their children up. And they get out on their own and they get in financial trouble. And so they come to mom and dad. I'm talking about a man and a woman that are trying. I mean, they're working. I mean, they're trying their best. And they make it, and something just comes up. Life does happen.
Yeah.
And something comes up. And mom and dad help them. And you know they're trying. You know they're, and you know. But the same situation has to go again. Man, woman raises up a son or a daughter. And they go out here and they waste their money. They work a job a week and then they quit that job and then they're off a month and whatever. And they're in binds, and they come to you and want you to help them. You don't feel near as much wanting to help somebody like that.
Yeah,
right. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah,
right.
So that's why God keeps giving, and God gives us what we have. All He asks is the church asks it too much. And some people will disagree with this, but at the least, God asks you to give 10%. And really, you haven't even started giving to God until you gave 10%.
That's right.
Yeah. Have you ordered that U-Haul yet? Really? You haven't really gave to God until you got to the 10%. It's already His.
Yeah. Right.
And He gets it back in other different ways when you don't give it.
Right. Yeah.
This is, y'all remember Brother Harold Nod?
Yeah.
Brother Harold had a saying. We'd be out golfing or something. And we'd be fishing or something. We'd be not catching no fish. Brother Harold would look at him and say, "Preacher, are you tithing?" He would. He'd ask him. I've been playing golf with him and somebody would hit a bad shot. I hit a bad shot all the time, so he didn't say it to me. But he played with some guys that was good. And I'd just be along with him for fun. And they'd hit a bad shot. He said, "Hey, remember to check up on your tithing. You should hit like that." A lot of truth in that, though.
Yeah.
You know, I believe this. I believe when you tithe, God can make your car run longer.
Make your
gas last longer.
Yeah.
Keep the kids from getting sick.
Yeah.
Cause all kinds of things. Now, I believe you can tithe and still have hard times.
Yeah.
Amen. And just because you tithe don't mean you're going to be a millionaire.
Yeah.
And we don't tithe just to get something from God.
Hey.
That's right.
Amen. We don't tithe just to try to get something from God. But we tithe in obedience, trusting God, and giving Him what He... Then we find what I call grace giving, that which is above free will offering, whatever you want to call it. It's giving above your tithe.
Yeah.
I mean, I think God's been good enough to me that I'd want to give a little bit more than just what would be necessary.
Amen.
Just what God, you know. I figure, you know, I believe God, it's worth tipping God a little bit. And I don't take that wrong. Don't take it unspiritual. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I practice that. In the Old Testament, thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for He is He that giveth thee power to get wealth. You say, you can't. He has to give you the strength to be able even to work to get it.
Yeah.
The New Testament, on the first day of the week. Where are you supposed to be on the first day of the week?
Church.
That was really, really, y'all really. Let every one of you lay by him in store. God has prospered him. That there be no gathering when I come. I believe God does compensate those that does tithe. I believe God's keeping a record.
Hey.
Whatever point it is, last one. Do the church ask too much when the church asks its members to be a witness, to try to win others to Christ? Brother Dean McNeese read this last night. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. That's what God wants us to do. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be a witness. He said, preacher, how can I be a witness? Well, you can be a witness with your life.
Yeah.
This morning you was a witness to a bunch of people you don't even think about. There's people in your subdivision that saw your car won't go out. And you know what they're saying? Wonder where they're going this so early this morning. No. They know where you're headed. I mean, you've been living there 6, 10, 12, 15, 20 years. If they don't know your car leaves out every Sunday morning, something's wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We got a new neighbor. And he's a 70 advent. And so Saturday, he's gone. There's nothing. I know where he's gone, Saturday. Sunday morning, he's out there mowing his yard. Amen. Working in his garden. I know. Amen.
Yeah.
I know where he's headed. Jordan. Same thing about you. They know. It's a win. Hey, they know down the job how you act, how you conduct yourself.
Amen.
It's a win. But you know, the Bible don't just tell us to be a lifestyle witness with our lifestyle. The Bible also says for us to be a light. It also tells us to be a witness. And you know what a witness does? A witness testifies. Can you imagine us having a court case? And we get you on the stand and prosecutor said, okay, we've got, this person's going to tell us what they seen. There's a wreck, and they was there, and they're going to tell us. Okay, well, you mind now, on such and such day, you was at so-and-so place, where was you at? Where was you at? Where was you, on this day, sir, on this day, where was you at? What did you see? What happened? Wouldn't be much of a witness, would it?
Not hard.
You're out of track. Leave one where you're eating at, put a little gift in it.
Yeah.
It's not hard. Knock on somebody's door on visitation day and it's...
Yeah.
95% of those polled in Baptist churches has never attempted to win one person to Christ. Is God asking too much? Is God asking too much for us just to try to be a witness and try to tell others about this wonderful thing? Hey, it has, hopefully it's changed your life. You're here this morning. How many believe they're on the way to heaven? Raise your hand. Okay. How many believe heaven's worth going to? Raise your hand. It ought to be worth sharing.
Hey.
A faith that's worth trusting. Somebody quote this now. Put it on Facebook for me. A faith that's worth trusting is a faith that's worth sharing. Moms and dad, will you share it with your children? Do you want your children to go to heaven? Huh? But, hub, you want your children to go to heaven, don't you? Do you want your grandchildren to go to heaven? Wouldn't it be awful to get to at the judgment seat of Christ and then to get at the great white throne judgment and one of your grandchildren being there? And you had never tried to tell them about Jesus? I've got a brother that I've witnessed to several times. It'd take me a minute to tell you his story, but I in my heart, I think he might be saved. He says, this is what he says. He says, if you believe you can have to be saved, never lose it. He said, I'm saved. I got saved when I was young. But he ain't been in church in years. He goes over. Is that things in the ministry, pastor, what happens to pastors? Different things like that. I remember this 12-year-old boy. Way of Faith, Baptist Church in Scottsboro. Him sitting about where Brother Donald's sitting. I remember God putting it on my heart and I walked back there. Crying. Asked my brother, do you know for sure you're saved? I mean, are we asking too much? Brother Stringer, are we asking too much? They asked us to have compassion on our own family? I love you. I don't mean to bring up something bad, but you've said this to me several times in the last couple of weeks. You know without a shadow of a doubt, Sister Nix is on the other side and you're going to her one day. Wouldn't it be worth that mom and dad to have that assurance for your children? Have that assurance for your mate. I mean, I'm not trying to be mean this morning. Right. I sure ain't trying to be smart aleck this morning. And I sure didn't want to preach what I'm preaching this morning. In the flesh, I didn't want to. But are we asking too much? If you leave here mad at me today, you've got the wrong message. You're standing, your heads are back.
Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the word of God that Pastor Tim has shared us. We thank you, Lord, for his obedience. Lord, we know the word was hard, Lord, that he shared. Father, we pray, God, you'll help us, Lord. Be that you'd have us to be, Lord, as a Christian, Lord. Father, I pray, God, that we would be a witness of heaven, Lord, in the world of sin, Lord, and that someone might see you through us. But, Father, I pray, God, help us, Lord, just to share the word of what you have done for us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for saving us, for all your many blessings. Father, we pray, God, you'll just, Lord, just help each one of us, Lord, to be back tonight, see us back home safely, Lord, and all this we ask for your name. Amen.